You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
On the line, coming from Poneke, they are a virtuoso violinist. They're part of NZ Trio. They're coming down to Otiboti with the trio this Friday to play their new show, Hypnotique, to wrap up the year. That's playing at the DPAG Dunedin Public Art Gallery. Please welcome. We have Amalia Hall here on the line from Poneke, Wellington, the capital of Aotearoa. Good morning to you, Amalia. How are we?
Good morning. Kia ora. Good, thank you.
It's very, very good to hear you, to have you on the program. I mean, it's good to hear you as well, but it's good to have you on the show. We don't really get... You go.
Thanks for having me, and really looking forward to being back down south this weekend.
Yes, it should be a very, very, very exciting time. We don't really get a lot of classical folks here on the show, but I love all music. All music is, you know, fundamentally sound, and sound is gorgeous. I want to know, when you're not listening to orchestra or classical, what kind of music do you listen to?
Do you know what? I love a little bit of everything, and there's not much that I don't like. It really depends on my mood, but I am certainly very partial to jazz and funk and soul and, yeah, all sorts, and just music from all corners of the world. Mm-hmm. And I think there's so much which classical music has influenced in many different genres as a little, in terms of just music, all genres of all kinds, all linked together. And there's so many different influences from different countries that feed into classical music these days as well. So, yeah, I just love being a well-rounded listener.
Yeah, awesome. I love that that note that, you know, all genres are related to each other. Over the past week, we've had a lot of very, very awesome orchestral releases. We've had Charlie XCX's new song House featuring John Cale. We've had Rosalia's new orchestra-based record and the new Shane Carter New Zealand Symphony Orchestra collaborative record. It's really exciting that these, you know, beautiful instruments are being recontextualized for modern works, isn't it?
Totally, totally. And I think as much genre bending as possible can happen is so, it's such a great way to expand people's horizons. And in fact, in our program this weekend with NZ Trio, we certainly are not presenting just your typical classical repertoire. There's one piece, it's called Obliquely Wrecked by Pascal Leboeuf. And I can tell you, it is such an exciting piece, and it's so rhythmic and just gripping right from the, you know, from top to tail, and our instruments are used in ways in which you would not expect them to be as well. So,
That's exciting. Yeah. Are we expecting to see someone take a cello and smash on the ground like a rock?
Not quite that far, but we make some very interesting sounds and effects from our instruments.
Awesome. I want to talk about your instrument. The last I heard, you are currently playing on a Vincenzo Ruggieri Baron Noop violin that dates back to the year 1700. It's on loan from a private benefactor. That is crazy. What's it like to play this thing? You know, do they still make violins like this?
Yes. Well, you know, it's an incredible honor to play something that is so old. And the thing is with old instruments is that there's been such a lot of time for the vibrations to go through the wood and so many different musicians playing on the instrument. And violins really respond differently to how they're played. So, for example, at the other end, I have a violin that was made in 2013, and I've been the only person to play that violin. And so it really responds to the way that I play very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. But I think the complexity of tone, which you can get from old instruments, is just, you know, it's really fascinating because they have these long lives, long journeys, and an item like this could be in a museum, but I get the privilege of playing it and taking it with me around the world and getting to share it with audiences, and that, you know, for them to hear this beautiful sound. So I do feel very lucky.
Mm-hmm. Will you be using that violin playing at the DPAG this week?
I will indeed.
Oh, exciting. Yeah. That is super, super exciting, man. I want to talk about the NZ Trio for a little bit. You've been part of it for, what, six-ish years? The trio itself started in 2002, and there was a pretty big development this year with the last founding member, cellist Ashley Brown, leaving, and Matthias Bolzat taking over the role of cellist officially in 2026, but he's been on tour with y'all. How has it been sort of navigating these changes?
It's been a really exciting time of both bittersweet looking back to all that we've experienced with Ashley Brown as the founding cellist. Mm-hmm. We've had some amazing times, but then also exciting looking forward to the further development of NZ Trio as an organisation. And I was just talking to the founding violinist the other day, actually, Justine Cormack, and I remember her saying a while ago that when the three founding members formed NZ Trio, they wanted it to be something that would exist, it would continue existing without them. And I think they've done the most incredible job of setting up this group with a really clear vision, and we're continuing to perform music in the same fresh way to audiences around the country.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's just developing with our new personalities in it as well.
Awesome. Do you think that over time the group has gotten more experimental? You referenced before with this new show, Hypnotique, that you're playing instruments not in the way people might expect. So would you say over time it's been not innovative might not be the wrong way, right word, but yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's always been a key part of NZ Trio's identity. Mm-hmm. And that's what has made it so exciting for audiences to come along and experience hearing our programs, because we always try to make sure, and this is something that NZ Trio has just done continuously through their time, is to make sure there's something for everyone. So there will be something really typically classical and, indulgently romantic. So, for example, in this program we've got Gabrielle Fauré, and we have Arnold Schoenberg, the Verklärte Nacht, which is just so beautiful and very sumptuous to listen to.
Mm.
And then we'll have something which is more offbeat and that you might not have heard before, and then we'll have something really crazy and perhaps challenging, and then we'll have something that's going to blow your mind. And we really make sure and put a little bit of everything in there. And NZ Trio itself has commissioned, gosh, it must be getting close to 80 works from New Zealand composers throughout its existence. And I think that dedication to celebrating local composers is really, really something that we're very proud of.
Mm.
And it is that we're continuing that into the future.
Mm, that's awesome. You got to keep it, made in New Zealand. That's a good slogan I like to live by.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I see you mentioned before Schoenberg's, Verklärte Nacht. I'm not very good with German, unfortunately, or whatever that language is. It's structured around the five stanzas of a poem. Is that you guys structuring that work around five stanzas?
It was his take on a poem, which was very controversial at the time of its release, because the story of the poem runs around a couple falling in love. But however, the twist is that shortly after they fall in love, then the man discovers that the woman is already pregnant with another man's child. So, it's quite a thought-provoking poem. And you can imagine all the vast mix of emotions that would be involved in this situation and in the poem, and it is really reflected in the music.
Mm-hmm. Lots of swelling, I imagine, not only for the instruments, but also for the woman in the story.
Definitely.
Oh, that's so cool. And you guys are coming down this Friday to play from 7 to 9 at the DPAC. Are you excited to see some great art before and after you play?
Absolutely, and it's always such a huge bonus to be able to play in such a gorgeous space and see that beautiful art mm-hmm. around us, both before and while we play.
Mm-hmm. I read a bit about you, and I saw that you've been to several countries, not exclusive of Mexico, Argentina, the US, Germany, Switzerland, China, I imagine many more. Next to playing with, amazing musical masterminds and performing beautiful music, is traveling one of the real highlights of your job?
It is, and music really does take me to many different places. I mean, this year alone, I think I've been to Mexico twice, and I've been to Brazil and Argentina and Macau a couple of times. And the interesting thing is, of course, it sounds very cliched, but music really is a universal language, and it really does bring people together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things I love most about being a musician, is that it speaks to the soul. It's so crucial for you know, for our existence, actually, and as much as we need food and water and accommodation and all of those sorts of things, we also need to feed and nurture our souls. And so, yeah, when I take music around the world and play in different countries and experience different cultures, it is a real joy just to see how people respond to music internationally.
Another thing that really binds people is food. I want to know, where's the best food you've had this year from?
Oh, my goodness, that is a great question. I have to admit, I have had some really, really great meals, but one was a little place I discovered in Mexico City and had to go that 2 or 3 times in the same week because it was so delicious.
Oh, I'm glad to hear. You've had a pretty busy year. This is the last event. Hypnotique is the last thing on the calendar for NZ Trio. Do you have anything else on the remainder of 2025, or is the rest of the year going to be a bit of R&R for you?
Well, I'll be finishing work on December 21st because I've also got, on Monday I'm heading off to Macau again, and so, you know, flying to Hong Kong and then popping over there, and then I'm going down to Queenstown because I'm on the selection panel for the Michael Hill International Violin Competition, and I'll also be back in Wellington to put my other hat on, which is as concertmaster of Orchestra Wellington, and we'll be wrapping up the year with a performance of Handel's Messiah. And that's it for the year before, yeah, so December 21st is where I get my R&R.
And hopefully, you know, you don't start work again on the 22nd of December.
No, luckily not.
All right, well, thank you so much for coming on the program. Before I asked if you had any kind of classical requests to play, do you have anything from Hypnotique that maybe our listeners could listen to while they're listening to Radio 1?
Oh, I think Obliquely Wrecked would be amazing.
Completely Wrecked?
Obliquely Wrecked.
Obliquely Wrecked, right. Okay, I'll track that down and I'll play it in a second. Thank you so much for coming on the program, Amalia. I really, really appreciate it, and I wish you the best with, you know, this show and also doing this stuff in Wellington and Macau. You're a very, very busy body, and I hope that you have a great end of the year.
Thank you so much for having me. Great to chat.
It was great to chat to you too. All right, folks, that was Amalia Hall from New Zealand Trio. We're talking to her about New Zealand Trio's show Hypnotique, which is coming to Otipoti. It's going to be at the DPAC from 7 to 9 this Paraire Friday. You can find tickets from eventfinder.co.nz.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.